Hey guys, my name is Bumpy, B to the A to the M to the B I. You're listening to the Crossroads Podcast.
All right. Did you know that today is the tomorrow you talked about yesterday? Yeah, so we are starting the conversation. And then there was this screenshots that was going around, and then we'd like to have a quick discussion on it. And it says, I passed my WAEC university, here I come, finally I can be free, finish school early, cook any time, no stress, be financially on my own, meet the love of my life, get married to the love of my life, be a millionaire before 25, bag that degree. Oh my God, I can't wait. So, Louisa, let's start with you. I mean, what's your take on this screenshot?
I don't even know what to say to this. This post, because I am very sure that everyone has ever thought this way.
Voice of Victory Radio.
Haven't you?
I think I have. Back in the day, when say, oh, person with music in them, to be like your own boss kind of thing, you know.
Why did you achieve?
Sorry. Well, I'm still young.
You're still in the youthful days.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
funny enough, fair. Like, the yeah. comments, everybody was like, hey, should we tell her?
Should we tell her?
Obviously, it's not going to be as good, right, like that.
Yeah.
Look at this. Everybody, I don't know what country she is saying this from.
Okay.
In Ghana, the system is very different. You can't just project your life, talk about love of my life and be billionaire before 25.
Not 25, man.
Charlie.
That's a lot of aspirations for someone who just finished WAEC. So, all the best to her. It's possible.
Okay.
Well, I don't really... That. Try to look down people's dreams, but I think, well, she's dreaming too big, but then it's still
God
possible.
Things are possible.
Okay.
Amen.
I see. But Louisa,
yeah.
Seriously, like, when you say adulthood, like, what does it mean to you?
I think that adulthood is the moment in your life when you move from, I don't have responsibilities to, I have responsibilities to take care of. The moment you start thinking towards that angle, that is adulthood.
Really? So yes. It doesn't come with age?
I don't want to. Age will just change everything. Really? Because if we are talking about responsibilities, there are people who are like 26, 27, who still feel like they don't have any responsibilities.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Tell me about it.
So are they not adults? Those people are not adults.
I don't think they are, because in this system, if you don't have responsibilities, if you don't have anything other than, you know, just having fun and partying.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
About that is
nothing about career, education, nothing about family, nothing about, I mean, you know. All the things that, just like this lady was saying in the post.
Okay.
If nothing of these sorts cross your mind at any point in time, how exactly are you being an adult?
Really? But if you're passing around, I'd be, you are responsible in a way.
But anyways, I think she's just trying to say that, like, carrying on responsibilities is a major part of adulthood. Like, you can't see an adult without having responsibilities, doing certain things right, like people looking up to you to do some things. Because obviously, like, you are rather somebody's responsibility, right?
Okay.
But once you take up the adulthood tag, that means, Charlie, it's all shown.
You've graduated.
I don't like decisions. You have to. That's when you have to be taking decisions on your own. So, for me, I don't know. I don't think there'll be a specific way to define adulthood. And as open social studies.
Exactly.
Open social studies way is why I remember. But then,
okay.
I think adulthood is just about. I think the underlying thing is what she said, taking up responsibilities. Yes.
Oh, okay. And I per this definition, if it's like an GHS and then you are, say, a blackboard cleaner or you hold any position.
You're getting there. Yes, it's all part of it because it starts from somewhere. Really.
Okay.
This is not, it's not like one day you get up and you see when you're adult. No, it starts from somewhere.
Okay.
You know how our parents say these things sometimes at home. Hey, since you're there,
okay.
You know, it's not because today your mom and dad woke up and decided to say, you are becoming an adult. It's because they've seen series of, you know, actions from you, things you've been doing.
Okay.
That's why they would wake up one day to say, this person is just growing every day.
Oh, okay. All right. So, you see, the lady, is it a lady?
She's a lady, yeah.
She said, okay. All right. That's what she thought adulthood would be. What, you know, she stated. But let's bring it here. I mean, guys, when you were younger, you know, than you are right now, how do you perceive adulthood?
So, you see those Nollywood movies, like, you close for work and you just, you can't miss it. You just throw your suit on the couch and be like, darling, I'm home. I was just...
Boys,
That's just how I saw, like, growing up to be, like, I say, like, you are more of a family guy, then you are taking, like, Louisa said, the responsibilities part, you have to be paying bills and those things, so that's how I envisioned growing up, and the freedom too, I really like the freedom aspect.
Louisa, how about you?
For me, it was more of the freedom aspect,
because
it used to look really nice when, like, older cousins... We'll go out in the night and come back at any time they wanted. Mm. And then the moment you step out, sometimes you've been sent to go and get something.
Yeah.
And if you're not lucky and there's a queue, your mom will be out looking for you in seconds.
Okay.
It was, you know, some way. When you're growing up, you won't understand these things. But then when you get to a certain point, you realize that they were doing it for your own good. Okay. Yeah.
I see.
It was more of their freedom.
One thing about adulting is that usually when you are young, you don't think about the fact that someone has to pay, like your dad is providing for everything for you, like okay, you are just thinking that Charlie, you also be a grown up.
You are just eating, sleeping, going to school.
That's a huge privilege, oh,
Charlie.
What you're supposed to be, like paying bills, like doing things on your own, you
sometimes
now know that
buying stuff for your own self.
Charlie.
Okay.
Then you realize that
it's a different level.
This is a different stage altogether.
Okay. Yeah. That means like when I puppies and when I mummies, they really try.
Charlie, then they try. Kudos to all of the fathers and the mothers out there.
You guys
are doing it big.
I see. I was like, it was just the freedom bit, and then you seeing, I mean, like, you having to come home from work.
We had to be as a child to Ayakolaji.
What I really used to fancy was the way people would wear different clothes to work all the time. And I just couldn't understand how I should wear one uniform every day to school.
It was stressful, yeah.
It was so stressful. And washing socks.
Oh, Charlie.
You know, what am I wearing socks to?
So, your favorite part of growing up is not wearing socks.
What about socks?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. So, fine. Growing up, so you had these, you know, should I say, fancy ideas?
Childish ideas.
Fine. I'm okay. No problem. So, what were your topmost priorities? I mean, when it comes to, you know, education, money, career, marriage, seeking God, and all that. I mean, what was your priority? What really came first for you growing up?
seeking God, like seeking God, but yeah,
I mean,
I think at the point where you realize that, I don't know, everybody has a stage in like getting exposed, like people became more committed to church matters and Christ at a very young age, but then it's not something that it doesn't cut across, because yeah, as a child you usually don't find a child thinking that way.
Okay.
Like you'll be thinking that way if and only if like maybe your parents are like just taking you to church and all those things, so you are like following your parents to church, but then to really have a personal relationship and see God for yourself, that'll be, I think if you're a child and you really think that seeking God will be your topmost priority, that means you are an adult. Yeah, wow. You have an adult mind.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Okay. Because I mean personally, I think growing up, what did they say? Oh, Sunday asun, your address, open the dark, sorry, your pon haba. Like, what did they say? Yeah, quite sorry. No. Quite like, sorry, so yeah, seeking God, like, how?
That would be another stage. But then I think those people, I know people who talk about like their childhood and they'll be like, I found God at this age, and wow. I'm like, wow. Did you know him for yourself? That would be another question for another day. But then, I think I really admire those people, because okay, for me, I don't really think we are just regular churchgoers going and coming. But then, to experience God for yourself at that young age, yeah, like it means that your mind is quite mature.
Okay, so
you joined in the house.
Yes, my money just walked in. That's my name.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, I know.
Charlie, what's up?
How are you?
Yeah, I did. It's saying now, oh, Ikra, oh, Somalia, crying in front. You just had to rush in and then.
Yeah, let me solve it. It's Somalian crisis.
Okay. Very necessary. So today, we are talking about adulthood. And then just a while ago, we were asking about, you know, what our priorities were growing up. And then, you know, sort of narrowed it down to seeking God growing up. So, would you like to know your take on that?
My experience seeking God when I was growing up.
Yes, I mean,
what is your priority
in terms like, of seeking
when
God?
When you're young.
Yes, when you're young. Like, how do you see?
Okay, there was a long list, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't think for me, it was seeking God, and it's not because, it's just because as a child, like I heard you say,
yeah,
hey, Oba, sorry, and then you just come. And for me, I was born into a Christian home, but I wasn't born into a house where we used to go to church every, but it was my brother was always going to church. He was like that.
Okay.
And so I followed him, and then later my mom joined, and
wow,
we all started, yeah. So my brother started going to church since he was born on his own. Nobody said took him to church.
Wow.
And then later I joined him and my mom joined. But even though my mom wasn't in church, when we go home every evening, she would call me and then we would read the Psalms. And I remember she replaced my names in like, it's just Psalm 91.
Okay.
He would was in the shelter of the Most High. And then she put my name there. She told me to repeat after her. That's what we used to do every evening.
Wow.
But for me, it was like, okay.
Yeah, you're going to church.
But now, growing up, because of that experience, when I enter my read the Psalms, like some, I know lots of the Psalms of it. And then when I see it, I put my name there. So it wasn't seeking God for me. I think it was career that was on my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us about it. Wow. Career. Yeah.
Millionaire before 25.
Oh, no. I think so because, for me, career was not about money.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always volunteered, and I started volunteering when I was like 12.
Wow.
So I think that, and it's also again for my mother. I saw what she was doing. Okay. She's a development worker.
Okay.
And I wanted to just do that. Yeah. And then also I heard about when Kofi Annan won the Nobel Prize. I wanted some.
Wow.
So yeah, that was what was my.
Wow.
That's powerful.
I'm telling you, Charlie.
I'm thinking about mine, and I'm like, see, this guy don't see how to decide.
But Louisa, I mean, what about you?
I mean, we've talked about priorities.
Yeah. I mean, personally.
Personally.
Yeah.
Seeking God wasn't the main thing.
Okay.
At the time, we were hearing about doing masters, PhD, and you just want to, also go on that street, okay. If you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
So, as a GHS, you're thinking about going to Wesley Girls or, you know, whatnot. You're thinking about, am I going to be a doctor? Am I going to be this or that? You know, a whole lot of things. You're thinking about, when do I get money to, you know, spread myself, my friends, my family.
My
like,
God.
You know the way it is in Nigerian movies. Like Stucky said, most of the time that is your, you know, I don't know for other people, but then for me,
okay,
that was how I used to feel about it. Seeking God. I didn't know God personally.
Okay.
But like everyone has said, we're going to church.
Okay.
Even, you know, honestly, I never really went to Sunday school.
Oh, really?
Why? Because... Funny story.
Uh-huh.
Sunday school in my church at the time was an Anglican church.
Okay.
Sunday school at the time used to start at 9:30.
Okay.
Till 12. So that's just the same time for, you know, third service, adult service. Okay. Okay. So normally when they come for adult service between 9:30 to 12:30, mm-hmm. you bring your kids. So that's when Sunday school starts. Then we okay. have first service.
Okay.
And then the second service. And at the time, I really used to enjoy my Hindi movies. So, there was no way.
Journey to the West.
You know.
Tell me about it.
It was Sundays. Yeah, I remember.
9:30 sharp.
Okay.
So, as young as I was, in the way I really enjoyed TV back then,
okay.
there was no way I was going to go to Sunday school. 9:30, I would miss the whole show.
Okay.
So, I remember those times. I would leave home really, really early, go and sit in the adult service.
Okay.
Not really. I don't really know what is going on, but I also cannot stand the fact that I'll be in the house and they'll complain. Why is it that we are all going to church? So I decided to go for my service at 7:30 so that I can make it back in time to watch my Hindi movie. So at that time, if you ask me who really God is, my experiences knowing God, there would really have been no answer.
Wow.
Okay, I don't know about other people, but okay. I feel like as time goes on, our eyes really open when we're nearing secondary school and they're holding retreats. Most of the secondary schools do that,
okay.
from what I'm hearing.
Oh, okay.
And my school was a Presbyterian school. We're doing that all the time. We had Dr. Lawrence Tete coming to preach. We had, you know, pastors coming to preach. And that is when most of us start experiencing God. Most of us start speaking in tongues, stuff like that. But you know, before that age, it was just TV.
Really, for you?
Yes.
That's like your topmost priority, pushing in the movie.
I was thinking of becoming a doctor, hey, and wow. you know,
a doctor. Wow.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
But here we are. I mean, if I were a doctor,
okay.
I'll be saving life somewhere.
Okay.
I won't be here, so
okay.
you know how the story ended.
Okay. I don't know. Asani, what about you? You know, back in the day, what did you want to become?
When I was little.
Yeah.
At some point in my life, I've wanted to be everything.
Really?
Yeah. I've never had like one thing that I want to become.
Okay.
Yeah. When they ask what you want to do, I say what comes to mind at that moment. Like,
okay.
There hasn't been one specific thing that I've ever wanted to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I can relate.
You can relate, eh?
Charlie. One specific.
Okay. Thing. I see.
I've said doctor. I've said
carpenter. Everything. Said, everything.
Yeah.
But in our time, we're not doing career days. Then, if those things were prominent in our days, mm-hmm. like you have like a specific thing, like mm-hmm. you really think through it and say, "Yeah, I want to be a soldier." So my parents should get me a soldier uniform. And
oh, but even at that, the following semester or term, when it's being done again, you'd have another profession okay. to yeah, think yeah, about.
It's what's appearing in the moment.
Okay.
Admiring some plumber, I'll say plumber. If it's mm-hmm. a carpenter, I'll say engineer. I've said doctor. I've wow. said everything before.
Wow.
Ask children as me.
Wow, Charlie, no joke. interesting. So, guys, would you say that in your 20s, you know how you perceived adulthood has changed? I mean, your priorities when you were younger than in your 20s, or in fact. You're all in our 20s, right?
Yeah,
okay. I have to be sure. Maybe Stangy is like
I'll be the youngest person here.
Oh, really? Tall. So, I mean, like, yes, I mean, has it changed?
Like, has it changed from what age? Because no. What I was, how I used to think when between 15 and 20 is different from how it's to feel between 10 and 15. So, how do you mean?
So, I mean, before your 20s, I mean.
Like my teenage years.
Yes. So, comparing that to, right now that you're in your 20s. And I'm saying,
some things have changed.
Tell me about it.
Your mindset.
I mean, especially with your priorities and stuff.
In terms of my career.
Whether career, money, seeking God, you know, everything.
Oh, definitely seeking God has, like, I mean, at this point in my life, I feel like I'm more...
Serious God.
Even though I feel like when I was in high school, I was more spiritual than now. Wow. Because you have your. I used to do free nights. Back in, we do free nights because I'm praying in the night.
Wow.
Charlie. But in as much as we were doing all those things, yeah. there was still so much that we didn't know that I know now.
Okay.
And I think that seeking God for now has become more of like a personal thing than a communal thing. When we were there, we always do it because we had friends that were doing it. Okay. And it was just, I mean, you do it. What will you do?
Yeah,
like, that's what we're all talking about and doing. Yeah. So it was more like something that we always communal, do. Like, yeah, it was really a communal personal. Fellowship.
Okay.
But now it's more personal and I can, yeah, you know, yeah, more than it is communal. Even though I think I was more serious than now.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. How about you, Louisa?
It has completely changed.
Completely, okay.
Completely. Everything about growing up and between that age and now.
Yeah.
Career-wise, I mean, thinking about education, marriage, seeking God, everything has really taken a different turn. Because, like I was saying, the way I was wishing to go to work and all that, now I'm going to work and wearing different dresses every day. Now I'm so tired of it.
Oh, Charlie.
I'm so
That's the one.
But would you rather you were in school and be teaching?
No, I want to be in school.
Oh, really?
I want to go back to when I was in class
really?
5.
No.
Yes, really? Yes. I want to go back to when I was in class 5 or 6. I didn't have to think about anything. Because, like, I was, like we're saying from the beginning, it comes to responsibilities.
Uh-huh.
You have the unconscious need, or how do I put it? You suicide know someone pushes. is watching you. Yeah. Someone is looking up to you.
Yeah.
At class 5, no one was looking up to me.
Okay.
I was eating and sleeping and enjoying TV shows.
Yeah.
Now everything I have to do, I have to like watch my back.
Okay.
I have a younger sibling. Unconsciously, everybody is expecting you to. I don't know, be so good so that they can, you know, walk in that lane.
Okay.
Because, I mean, just imagine if I'm wayward, would you even find me to come and sit here today on the show? Growing up, it's just...
So it's more like expectations.
Expectations.
But you really want to go back to class. I don't want to go back to class.
I want to
homework.
Homework to or something.
Now I want to do homework.
You want to do homework?
No, the last thing you need to talk at is no, I cannot.
Oh, really?
No, I don't want to go back.
I want the time that people they had to write names of talkatives. Me, I wasn't caned.
For me,
because I was just calm.
Okay.
If they came the whole class, I won't be part.
Wow.
I want to go back to that
time. That's
why
you want to go.
For me, I'll just like my university experience. Like, just learn for me. Yeah, just learning for your parents. They are so giving you money.
Charlie,
that was a wonderful experience. It's not like they are lashing you or something.
Okay.
You need period.
Even
there,
that, their expectations.
Yes.
They are looking up to you to have a first class in this Ghana.
Okay.
Look, they are expecting that. Because uni is when people pick up a lot of, you know, a lot of these things. Smoking weed and all that.
Okay,
sure. Exactly. Your parents are expecting that you are in school. We are not there with you.
Okay.
In class 5, who is expecting that I won't go and smoke weed? Just tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's just great to be young. It's just great to be a baby.
I see. I see. Okay, so growing up, what were our goals? So right now, we've talked about, you know, how we perceive adulthood and stuff. We want to compare, you know, the goals we had back then and now.
Okay, for me,
yeah. Oh, Charlie.
For me, like, I'm blessed to have adults. Like, I'm blessed to have grown-ups as my siblings. I have older siblings I look up to. So whatever step they take in life, like, they are the people I look up to. So I'm just following their steps. And that has been a problem. I don't know how the first and bonds do that, because if I was the first born, I don't know what happened. Because it's like, I think for me, it was my big brothers and siblings who, like, they set a trajectory for me, and it was so easy that I'm just following. They are going, and I'm just following. But then to have something on my own, like, hey, I'll really think and sit and picture my life, like, my adulting stage. Like, I really didn't. I think at that stage, I was also, I don't know, should I say, my mind wasn't that mature, but I was just following up. I see my brother learning how to learn.
Yeah.
And we're also doing very well in school, so it's those kind of petty challenges that you also want to, okay, this guy had this, so I have to beat him. My dad won't be proud of me, that my dad won't be happy. Wow. Those kind of stuff. So I think that was my mindset as a child. Yeah,
and then right now, would you say it's still the same?
Charlie, right now you don't have anybody to look at, the one, of course, you don't have anybody like you're looking up to, like, you should do. Because right now, if you look at someone like you, Ubeti, that's the way.
Okay.
Right now, everybody is doing you, so you have to be like the little passion you had as a child. If you're able to guard it and grow it, that's what will make you, like, successful as an adult. But then if you really just were like me, like, you are just fooling at this stage, you just be like, so what's next? Like, the world is so open to you, and like, you're just like, what's next? So that's kind of the stage I am now. But then, of course, I'm still following some trajectories. Like, I have role models and all that, so We are looking towards achieving this kind of things that we set for ourselves, even in the short period or the interim.
Okay, I see. Masmali?
I mean, growing up, I don't think I had goals.
Like, really?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I don't think I had, like... Well, apart from academic goals, because that's the only thing that your parents expect from me, that I will do well in school.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apart from that... I had animals. I had rabbits, so maybe making sure that they are fine and I'm getting money from them.
Tell me about it. Wow.
Well, I think it's something that we did. My brother had animals, and he was raising pets, like rabbits, and selling them. So when he went off to secondary school, automatically I took up the mantle and I started having rabbits and growing food, like maize and stuff in the house. So. Mm. That was the kind. I think my, and my mom was happy, because at least we have some kind of we have some kind of responsibility. So yeah, and then do well in school. And my brother, like you said, like, you have siblings ahead of you who do things and they'll be doing well in school, and then you have to do well some otherwise to look some way. Even though we were never really compared, like, academically, nobody ever once told me that, hey, look at your brother, he's doing so well in school, you're not.
Okay.
But at the same time, you yourself, you know that, you have to, like, you know,
you have to step up.
So, yeah, it was basically just academics. And now, as I finished the whole, I've not finished the whole academic ladder, but, like, now that we've all gone different paths, and, like, there's nothing to do, like, you said, who are you looking up to now? Right now, there's, like, nobody. You have to, like, figure out stuff yourself. So yeah, that has changed. My goals have definitely changed. Now I want to become an expert at something, other than just. I want to excel at one particular craft and know that if they're looking for anybody in the world in this field, it is me that they have to come to. That's what I want to do. Like,
wow.
You know, I'm not. And then you're not competing with the people around you, you're competing with the whole world. So okay. If you're looking for somebody who can do this in the entire universe, they have to come to you. That's my goal.
Wow.
Looking to achieve that.
Wow, interesting. All right, so if you just tuned in, this is Voice of Victory Radio and then the Crossroads Show. So would you say, you know, being in your 20s is really challenging? Louisa, would you like to start with us?
This question. Being in your 20s is quite challenging.
Okay.
And it's also very tricky because there are some of us that are still being provided for.
Okay.
And so, I mean, if I'm comfortable, I don't expect to come and say that it's been challenging.
Okay.
But then if you are part of the squad that are more or less taking care of themselves, you know, a lot of staggy, you know, a lot of our mates are done with uni, but they are not working.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing iPhone deals.
Charlie, DM for prizes.
DM for prizes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them are, you know, and low-key, they're all looking for corporate jobs. Yeah, it's very challenging. And, you know, I don't know about the other parts of the world, but here, if you stay home like 2-3 weeks and you don't work, I don't know, you start getting funny looks. Depression. Even if your parents are okay, mm-hmm. they understand how the system works, you'll be so worried about your neighbors.
Okay.
If it's not your neighbors, then you get it. So it's challenging. It's a whole package, a whole lot of mixed feelings. Like one moment you are okay, the next moment you are just, the mood is just bad. You just don't know what is going on. And, you know, sometimes you wake up with a very good vibe. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I have a plan. Then when you start, then you realize that, what crap am I doing? What am I doing? And then you go back to thinking about, because I know a lot of people that started doing this, mm-hmm. they stopped. Mm-hmm. Now they are doing something different. Tomorrow you see something different. And then, today I'm doing this, so follow my page. I have another page. There's always that, this is an endless state of confusion and emotional. Because this is so hard.
It's hard.
Yes, it's hard. Because okay. I have a 9-to-5 job.
Okay.
And I do other things. Like I sell stuff online. Okay. But it's still hard.
Charlie.
It's still hard. There's the stress of going to work. Mm-hmm. You do this countless times and they'll tell you it's not good enough.
Oh,
someone will also DM you. How much is this? Will it fit me? Endless conversation. And the person will say, I'll get back to you.
Oh, like,
there's always something.
Wow. There's always something to piss you
exactly.
off.
You feel like you have a plan, and then you feel like you don't have a plan. Yes. In your 20s, today somebody was telling me, Charlie, in your 20s, you have to make it or make it. You cannot go any other way. So it's that constant thought of, you know, and in this time, social media is even making it worse. Because mm-hmm. here you are on Instagram. Everybody is living their life.
Challenge
on Instagram,
you know,
on Twitter, on Snapchat,
you know.
So, if you are not that kind of person, and you are watching these people, just imagine how you be feeling. Like, am I doing this life thing right?
Yeah.
It's always the question that comes with it. I don't know about you people, but sometimes we don't want the pressure to barb us, mm-hmm. but you are human.
Yeah,
you are human.
Yeah.
You cannot say that.
It will barb you.
It would.
Okay.
It would.
I see.
It's a very, very challenging period. This is the time where we need a lot of support and encouragement. Mm-hmm. This is not the time where you just step on my toes, because I am already frustrated for the coming days.
Wow. Okay.
So this is just the time where we all need people to, you know, really push us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We all have something in us.
Yeah.
It's also challenging because sometimes you see someone, I see Staggy doing something and I'm thinking, I could even do this better than Staggy.
Okay.
Forgetting that maybe that is not, you see, this is a very confusing moment.
Wow.
You think you've got it figured out. you think that you could be doing this, and when you start, it's just bad. You don't know. This, we don't know anything in our, we don't know. Sagi, do you know? Now that I think about it, I'm sad. You just don't know anything. You wake up and you, do you think you're ever going to find a bag of money somewhere tomorrow?
She's taking my thoughts way back. Like,
nobody knows anything. Charlie. What if you wake up tomorrow and your 9-to-5 job, they're saying, okay, we're closing down. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody knows anything. Who ever expected COVID-19?
But here we are.
It's just endless struggle. Except you have your dad's business that you are going to manage at some point.
Let me with that, Seth. I mean, it still comes with some struggles, right?
Yeah. And, it still comes with some struggles. Expectations. But at least having to think about what you are going to do has been taken away.
Okay.
You know what you are going to do. But as of now, it would be shocking that in 10 years, I always thought Stagi was going to be on radio. Yeah, yeah, some business tycoon going to Dubai and back.
Charlie.
And, you know.
Thank you. Receive it.
Charlie, who will be flesh and blood?
No, not at all.
I just receive it.
Endless struggles.
Masmadi, let's see something.
What she said is very emotional.
Charlie,
she took us on an emotional ride.
Yeah.
But I think that being in the 20s is tough because I am in it.
Yeah.
It's the same way I thought when I was 16. I thought I was facing the toughest moment of my life.
Okay.
And I'm here and it's tough. So I'm wondering, what's it going to be like when I'm 30 or 50? I feel like every stage in life comes with its own kind of difficulty.
Yeah.
However, I feel like as millennials and as those of us who are now in our 20s, we live in a world that has never ever been lived before because there wasn't a surge of internet like this 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like when our parents or like even some of us, our older siblings were 20, they weren't living in this kind of competition. They weren't living in this kind of space. Like, for us, it's like we are an experimental, species. Like we are like social experiments. We are now walking the path so those behind us can run.
Okay.
So it's a bit intense because we have to compete. Like I've always said, like competition has never been this. You're not competing with the people around you. It's global.
Okay.
Because you can live in Ghana, you're working in Dubai. You can live in Dubai, you're working in China. Like,
okay.
And then you have to apply for the same job as somebody who schooled in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different dynamic. So it's definitely tough. But I can imagine. I don't think it's going to get easier as we go. It's going to get tougher and tougher because we are those of us born in the 90s, we are like an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones that
you think are scary, coming every day.
Yeah, because the internet, like now you put something on social media and it's like there for life. 10 years down the line, it comes back to bite you.
When you say the opposite,
you know, and then human beings too. As the society is evolving, something that you think that makes perfect sense now, in 10 years, somebody will come and say and call you names and call you a bigot or like say something and you're like, but back in the day, that was the culture. Yeah, I was kind of and we are living in a time where like there's no, your freedom of expression. Now you don't have freedom of speech. Oh. They say freedom of speech, but you go and say something and you judge yourself. So it's a very, we are definitely in a very, very, very tough period, but like I said, we don't know what lies ahead. Like, and also, we don't know what lies ahead of us in the next 10 years. And when we're in JSS and Prime, we also thought it was hard.
Charlie.
So I feel like it's something that we don't know. I can't say it's the toughest period of the human life because at this point, I mean, we are kind of being taken care of while you're also trying to find your own grounds. You still have your parents feeding you, you're living under their roof. And even though that can be tricky, because a bird has to leave the mother's nest in order to fly.
Wow.
So you may think that you are comfortable, mommy and daddy are doing things for me and everything, but it has a way of coming back to bite you if you do not strive on your own. So it's not that easy. You may think it's easy because even if there's Wi-Fi at home, there is the even if you have a house help, I mean, everything is provided by your parents. But it doesn't. This life, you have to live it.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, you can't. You have to live it.
Okay.
Even if you're like you said, like I think you said, like you have your parents' job to continue to
go and manage.
It's not freelance. You have to step up your game when you're in that position. So life, you have to take it by the horns. No matter what you do, you have to live.
Okay.
You will face that difficulty that you have to face. You will be able, but. Human beings have the ability to shape and redefine and remold themselves into different things when the time arises. So there's hope.
Wow.
There's hope. Always. Saggy.
Bro!
Charlie, these guys.
Charlie, so right now, I'm just thinking, is this all about the economic side? So right now, if I give to you guys $10 million right now, will you stop complaining about this whole life thing?
No.
If we won't stop complaining.
You have another challenge altogether.
Charlie. Especially if you want to have kids and get married. That's a whole different dynamic.
Charlie. For me, I think.
Charlie,
I think we are still in it. Whatever you do, we are in it.
I know. Unfortunately for us, life has no formula. Mm-hmm. There's no A plus B is equal to C.
Okay.
Someone could be threading this path and you do the same thing in Yawa.
Okay.
Because me, when I was at uni, people always see me as the partying type. But when I was in uni, Staggy, how long were we in class before I even got to know you? Like level 400.
That means you're not coming to class.
I was coming to class. You knew me because I always sat in the front. Yes, you know yes, I was yes. coming to class. But I didn't know Staggy because I always had one thing at the back of my mind. That somebody will go and party, nothing will happen. Only me, if I go, something will happen and I won't be able to explain myself.
Yeah, different trajectories for everybody.
Exactly. So, this life thing, sometimes I really wish there was a formula for everybody. Then I know from A, I'm going to Z, then I'll come back to C for my life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many things.
The mystery in life adds some kind of meaning. Like you sit back and think and be like, wow, like you know that kind of whole the whole wow thing makes life worth living.
Okay,
looking back, I get you.
Life is like if you are born, you have to live. You have to live.
But you don't know how. You don't know exactly how.
So I was wondering, how were our parents doing it?
My
parents really talk about it, but they don't have conversations where they are teaching point blank. Like, I did this, and I because of this, I got this to this stage. I did this because of this. So it's like, you just know that they are there, but then how they got it, you just know that everybody knows that their parents struggled. Yeah. But like, what exactly? Like,
I'm curious. I'm looking at my mom. Like, mommy, how did you do it?
Sometimes you also look back and think that maybe there are times things were softer. Like,
they didn't have a lot of
unemployment.
I mean, all she has to do is go to the farm.
I don't think there was high unemployment.
It's easy to think about it like this, but at the time, the development of the time was at par with the kind of life they were living.
Yeah, so if you're able to break through at that point, Charlie, that means you really struggled, I think.
Yeah, and it's the same for us. If you're able to break through now, it means you really struggled. Because there's a lot of information. Mm-hmm. At that time, maybe there wasn't a lot of information. There's no internet, so you had to probably go to a library to get your books and get the information. So it's easy to specialize in a field. Okay. But now you can be in your house. Somebody will learn how to write programs on YouTube. You go to school for 4 years. You also learn how to
do the same now.
You are there and applying for a job in Google or Microsoft. And these people now, they say they are not looking for education. Your educational, but they want to see your skills.
Charlie.
So now the competition is tough.
It's tight. And this is something that you don't know if you are doing it right.
Okay.
What if I go and learn programming and Microsoft or whatever never takes me on? You see, you don't know what is actually going to work for you. Because sometimes I wonder, did you always know you were going to... Like when I look at other people, did you always know, or at some point in your life, you just met this person, something just happened, you took a different turn, and then here you are. Sometimes I wonder so much. Mm-hmm. Life is, it's not easy at all. Me, I think a lot too. I'm a very deep thinker.
Philosopher.
And sometimes I'm just like it bothers me.
Okay.
Me, these are things that I think about. Wow. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
You have a whole lot of things to do. You don't even know where to start from. You don't know, like you don't know when you're going to quit your job. You don't know, even if you want to quit your job and look for another job, where do you start from? Yeah. Do you quit today?
This is a ranting episode.
Yeah, catharsis. How are we coping? Like, how are we keeping our heads above?
How are we keeping ourselves safe?
We can't even answer. Dude, there's no one answer. Because that's what I'm telling you. This is an endless life of...
Mixed feelings.
Not struggle, but, you know, that's what I was saying from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, today you are happy. You feel like you have things going on. Then in the next minute, you just don't know. Okay. Do you know how you're coping? You are just taking one step at a time. That's all that's happening. Because tomorrow you could meet somebody and then you say, come and do this for me. And then tomorrow, like, I'll just be seeing you on TV. Hey, I was on radio with this guy. How would you know it's going to happen tomorrow? How would you know your breakthrough is coming tomorrow? So don't stop today. Like, how do you know?
Charlie.
Seriously. I think it's just hope. It's just it's that thing called hope.
Yeah.
And because if there's no, if you're hopeless, like if you really think that it's over for you,
mm-hmm.
I don't see how you'll be able to live through the next day. It's just hope. Mm-hmm. Basically, the fact that you know that you don't know when it is, you don't know what time it will come, you don't know what form it will come in, you don't know, but you know that something will happen. Like you just know that something will happen, you just don't know when, and you just know that you have to sit through it so that when the time comes you'll be able to smile and say, I made it, you know. It's just hope.
Okay.
It's really, really just hope. And sometimes of course you wake up and you're like, what is this hope that I'm feeling? It's just my mind's defensive mechanism, like, you know. But I don't think, you know, and I'm saying again, I don't think like I have it all. Like I don't think that we will be created just to come and pass through. And sometimes I think that maybe we are just part of somebody's story, just helping somebody, like, you know. So you really can't tell whether, like, you're just a peripheral.
Charlie. You guys are taking my mind.
Trust me.
That, maybe somebody was supposed to meet you, so you just tell them this thing, so they will make it. But your story has ended.
Okay.
You know? You are the, you know.
And as a noun. In your 20s, do you know people in their 70s or 80s as Oman Bebobra? Like, they don't have anything substantial that ever happened in their lives. Like, Menye Sikada, Mensi Dainda. Like, nothing happened for them. See. Have you not met anybody like that? Me, I know people like that. I'm not just thinking.
Wow.
I've not met anybody.
Oh, wow. I know people who are, like, old.
Yeah.
Oh, I do.
As a noun, they don't even have a one plot of land.
But at least they have kids.
Do you know the things their kids have gone through because their parents, like, let's say, couldn't make it.
But wait, then again, like, making it, no.
Yeah, it depends on what's your merit for success.
Yeah,
because somebody's.
I know that, you know, success is not something that we can measure.
Okay,
but I feel strongly.
Yeah.
That nobody wishes for a life where they've got nothing.
Okay.
Definitely, like the way we were saying that we all wanted to be doctors, lawyers. Do you think that those people never had those aspirations? Do you think that they never thought of becoming, like, businessmen, well-known businessmen, even if they are not as rich as Dangote or whoever? Exactly. They wanted to get somewhere. At least build a house, have a car, take care of my kids. It's not also easy for parents to see their kids struggling because... Bebobra, like, you know, let's just put it in quotes. Okay, okay. Like, we've established, you cannot measure it.
Yeah.
It's interesting to know that some people have kids because it's a form of security, and they want their kids to actually grow up and come into
and take care of them.
And some people really, really don't have aspirations. Some people, somebody's goal is to just wake up and eat and be happy.
Okay.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Yeah,
true.
Like, people have very different merits for their success. Somebody, if they wake up and they've been able to eat their favorite meal, they've made it.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
That's you a primary.
But they don't. But nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to. Nobody wants, cause even rich people, when they are thinking about what to eat the next day, can I say, should I take salad today? Should I eat banku today? And no, can I eat a different kind of, you know? How much more wa unibi? Who unibi o? I think now better you say. Me koto eh imari to see this ni eh ina membeka banku na mi chimo pa na say member ampesi na ampesi ni so. It's just three fingers. How are we going to share it? Ampesi is your favorite food, but here you are. You can't even buy a lot you to take care of the family. This is your favorite food. This is you here trying to see how you are going to portion it for your family. Although it wasn't your plan that me sike ni gidi gidi gidi, but so obre.
So the question you're putting forward, I think. Do you know the saying that Misery loves company? I think that's how a lot of youths today are coping, because they'll call their friends, Charlie, me to feel like that is good.
I don't like that thing at all.
Really, you don't, okay.
I do. Like,
why?
I mean, I get that you owe me, but why are you calling? How is that something we should clap about or we should like,
do? But then,
it's like communal something.
No, they need to know they are not alone.
Okay,
they need to know they are not alone.
That's a stage where you have to.
And sometimes it's a big mistake.
Really,
to be honest, sometimes it's a big mistake because, look, me, I've been there. At the point where I was telling somebody about some difficulties, and it looks like this person is trying to advise you that, okay, and men you see, but you have to like think about it. Sometimes when people are giving you advice, it's because they haven't been there.
Okay.
They are not in your shoes, so they just tell you, okay, then quit your job. But you know deep down that you cannot just quit your job, even though it's not good.
Your job in your 20s, bold. Very bold. Your 20s in this character, that's a very bold decision.
Not a job that you own, but you're working under someone, and maybe the job is not so good.
Okay.
I mean, the salary is not so good, or even the working environment is not good.
Okay.
Maybe I'm complaining to you, saying quit your job, but there's a whole lot. Okay, so sometimes the complaining, it doesn't really do anything for you, because the people you are complaining to haven't been there.
Yeah.
So they'll just tell you this, and the person in turn was saying that, and then you're comfortable in your difficulties.
I think
I think what Steven is saying is like, maybe like you get up and you're like, oh, you want to call this your friend, and you're like, oh, today it's tough, and then your friend is like, oh, it's also tough here.
Yeah,
also, like,
you know,
you guys talk about
that's a coping mechanism.
But me, I have a friend that if you call him and talk to him about something like this, he won't listen.
Okay,
he'll tell you that if you're here for us to think about something to do to help us solve the situation. Fine.
Okay.
But don't come in.
I think your friend is me. Because
I think it's you.
Yeah, why? Like, so you, it's tough for you. I mean, you obviously know that it's tough for me too. So you're calling me so that we do what exactly?
This is your airtime
that you are using to call me.
No. Yeah, you are big. You are mistaken. Because, Spaggy, you know that thing when we are going to write... Exams. And I know I haven't studied. And I just need assurance that, Stagi, sir, I didn't cry in your insiai into the day.
Only one insiai.
I just need to know that I'm not alone.
No.
People like that, but I don't think it's the right approach to, like, a right coping mechanism. That's why I just put it in perspective.
Okay.
But then, like, exams, people, sometimes you write on exams and you just get a very... a very bad mark and you just want someone also in your group just to make you feel, and I think that's very detrimental to growth. It's very bad.
The moment you know that you have people on your side, you won't try to go in.
I wrote a certain paper in school and I think they were calling the lowest marks and my index number was mentioned and my friends knew my index number, so this guy comes out for the class and they're calling the people who got like the least marks. And they were mentioning my name. And then when they mentioned my index number, I was just looking at my fingernails like this. one of my friends tells me that, Masmed, is that right? I was like, did you register with me? Like, how do you know that is my index number?
People are some real, we have people like that too.
Like, they just want to, like, my index number. And the man is mentioning 104, and then this was me. And I knew that this was me. And then they your number. I'm like, did you register?
But people are so weird.
But I didn't end up going for that paper. So, and in a month after he gives you, then he will insult you for the I cannot do that job.
Interesting.
But yeah. You see, we are learning.
Yeah.
So you've learned something.
Yeah.
This is not the time for us to always talk about the problem. Yeah. The solution, Charlie, is the key.
I have a business idea. I just
what do you think? Know, because they say I have been so the end of the day.
It's different from calling me to someone that, oh, I'm feeling down today because of this and this and this. But if you call me and say, hey, sometimes you can just, if somebody's very down and they're depressed and they're calling you and tell you, you can kind of like, you know, talk to them and say that, oh, you know, to get better and things. Why did they be, why? PhD in suffering. What do you mean? It's not a very healthy thing that they're entertaining.
Okay. Okay, true that. Okay, so guys, now we know the struggles, you know, and then, in fact, Asana, we don't know how we are coping. I think it's just hope that is keeping us. I also think it's really God, though. I mean, trusting in God. Because
hope, I don't need Christ.
Okay. Charlie. So, do you guys believe time is of the essence? I mean, reaching our goals.
Time is cool. Yeah.
We've established that time, we can't use time to measure success.
Okay.
And I think that if you blow down, okay, good for you. But what about the person that will blow in your 30s or 40s or 50s? Okay, so we can't really tell.
Okay.
Like, I'll go back to this point all the time. We can't really tell. Like, we've been saying, there's no formula. There's nothing. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. It's just hope, like he said.
Yeah.
It's just hope.
Okay. Sorry.
I think growing up, everybody had expectations of how their future would be like. And I think most of us associated timelines with it. Maybe I'll get married by this. I'll do this by that. But when you actually get there, life has a funny way of resetting your mind. Like, factory reset. Like, you just understand that, Charlie. Yeah. I was thinking too big. My dream wasn't realistic enough. Yeah, so, but then, well, I think that's the whole point. So, Charlie, this topic, Akasadi.
In some way.
People were working on timelines, but then I don't know. But somebody would like to say something.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how you mean by just time or the essence in reaching your goals, because time does things. Like, time just doesn't pass. You can't be in life and mark time or stay in the same spot. It means you'll be retrogressing. So if you have goals and you feel like you're not reaching those goals, like in a certain time frame that you have set, it doesn't necessarily mean you are losing out on anything, because during the time that you feel like you're not doing anything, you are learning something.
Okay.
Even now that we feel like if you failed, you've learned, like failure, you've learned, like you've learned something. Yeah. Like time teaches, time heals, time does things. Time just doesn't pass, or you retrogress. Like, you can't just see that time is passing and I'm the same person. Nobody's ever the same person. Okay. If I either become a better person or you become like worse off than you were before, time just doesn't pass. So in that kind of instance, time is of the essence. But like she said, if I make it today and she makes it when she's 30, we've all made it. Okay. You understand? We've all made it. And what should if I make it today in 10 years' time, I'll still have this. I'll still be the same man that I am. And then what should that when she makes it when she's 30? And by the time she makes it when she's 30, I will still have. Maybe I would have fallen at the time. You know. There's no real like.
Well, for me, I also think that as I was saying, everybody had expectations growing up, but then we all grow physically, and it's as a result of time. Yeah. Maybe by time you grow, but not everybody develops. Like, I don't know whether you get me. Yeah. So even in a period of waiting, it's very important to know what you are using your time for. Mm-hmm. When you gather knowledge about, you are still building yourself up, you are building capacity.
Yeah.
Once there's a breakthrough, like, that's it for you. Yeah. Nobody.
You have to position yourself such that, like, you can't just, even if it's a, like, that's me, I like novels. Okay. So even if I'm there and, like, I don't have anything to do, I'll read that one. I don't know why. You have to, like, I feel like if you are just there and, like,
you can't just be there.
As a human being, you can't just be there. It's not human. I feel like it's evil. Like, for me, I think that's an evil thing to do. That God has given you precious time, and then, like, you feel like because you're not working, or you feel like because you're not doing anything like to bring in income, you don't do anything to add value to your life. I don't know. I feel like it's immoral.
It's immoral. I agree with that.
Read a book. Read, like,
do something.
Read, like, and me, I always
be useful, be productive.
I think I watched this thing on someone's TikTok yesterday. A pastor was saying that, so some people, don't you have anything to do with your life? Like, you're always about this boyfriend, girlfriend relationship. You, like, if your boy leaves you, you are all about, hey, my boy is giant music, I can't do anything. Read a book, do something with
and
your life.
Team break up memes.
You're singing,
and
you're single, but then it doesn't mean that your life has, I don't know. You have to get something to do.
Exercise, cry, something. Like, yeah.
Just do something.
Exercise, go for a walk, go for a run, read a book. Like, just don't be there. Because that's what happens, and people end up resorting to drugs. Because drugs will give you, like, this little illusion, be like you've escaped a certain moment and you're high and you feel like,
and then you're back to it,
and then
second,
you realize that you are back to where you are. So do something.
Okay. So talking about relationships here, do you think, you know, growing up and then right now, the way, you know, you saw relationships, has it changed? Like, and then, you know, all these struggles we are sharing in our 20s, has it sort of affected our relationship with others?
People, well, for me, right now, this is a point in my life that I always, almost every 2 weeks, if I want to reestablish contact with someone, the guy is like, Charlie, you dog me. Like, I don't know. This is life. Where everybody is trying to live their life. They think,
Charlie.
The thing is, like, the school life that maybe level 100, you'll be working in groups, then everybody's... Yeah. Charlie, life has a way of just splitting everybody up. Even the titles of friends, Charlie, when you get into this adulting stage, it's like, I don't know, you don't really get the time. I don't know whether it's actually about time or a conscious effort or other things have taken your focus, but then see, it's very difficult to be checking up on people. And right now, that's one of my biggest problems. People telling that, Charlie, you dog me. Charlie, life, where the life take me go? no be dogging matter. So I think at this stage, like, a lot of relationships have been messed up. It's not even about maybe relationship that should lead to marriage, but then a lot of friendships and things from high school and those things, I think a lot of them have been
shattered.
Yeah, that's the way.
I see. Louisa.
It's just, I agree with them, Stucky.
Okay.
It's this road we are on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything. And so, you are going to lose people, you are going to meet people, this is not even about boyfriend or girlfriend. your personal relationships. We have to learn to know that, like, as we are talking about God, sometimes you are praying for a breakthrough. Sometimes God needs to take someone out and then get you there. So,
Charlie.
It's very true.
By, okay, Rob Tattis.
I'm telling you. Eviction, man.
Hey, so God did do it, Charlie.
So relationships, you cannot say for a fact that we are going to have this relationship for the longest time. It's going to fall off at any time, and it's going to be as strong as it can at any time. Nobody knows. So, you know, you just, you know, take it one step at a time. Take it as it comes.
Okay.
If tomorrow Stagi doesn't want to be my friend again, me, I'll be his friend.
It's not about, like, somebody deciding not to be someone's friend, but it's really about, like, time. It's like, you see,
sometimes
you're friends with all of them. That is good for you.
The quality of the relationship is not the same as it was before, but if we meet today, it is just be like the same. But I feel like my best friends from high school and from JSS and even from primary school are still my best friends today. My best friend and I have been friends for 18 years.
Wow.
She's in this Chesamuela.
And we talk
every blessed day.
Wow.
One day. Okay, well, if you don't talk for 2 days, then... at least we speak on Instagram, but talking on the phone, we try to talk every day. Wow.
I'm so impressed.
And that's my best friend for 18 years. Wow. And we talk every day. Wow. And you feel like sometimes there's nothing to talk about.
But the moment they pick up the phone, something
will just come up, or we'll just play online games. And I feel like it's a conscious effort that we have made, you know.
Okay.
It's not always, sometimes when I'm going through something, hey, extremely difficult, and I feel like today, I cannot talk on the phone. And then I see her, like a call, or like I call her, I'll be like, oh, today is not a good day. Let's just, and she'll be like, oh, no, you have to be on the phone.
Yeah.
You have to be on the phone. And we talk. We talk through it, you see. And I feel like it's a conscious effort.
Yeah, true.
Especially during the lockdown time when it was so difficult. We had to go and buy, games. She also bought games. And then we'll be playing online. Or we read together. Like, I'll read one page. Mm. She'll read one page. And then we discuss a novel or something. It's an intentional thing. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with my friends from high school. We call each other on Zoom on Sundays. Like, we're a bunch of friends. Call each other on Zoom on Sundays. And make sure that we discuss something.
So it means that
our friendships are just intentional.
I feel like that's what people feel to realize. Relationships, you have to be intentional about it. Because I feel like... it's a build up. If I make a new friend today, right, the kind of bond I have made with my old friend, it's an investment.
Yeah.
I cannot let it go. You understand? I cannot let that investment go, because that is somebody.
My dear, this is not everybody reasons like you.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, it's an investment.
Sometimes you want to keep relationships, but the other person doesn't want to. What else can you do?
Anyway,
That's why conscious effort should be an underlying thing.
That's the thing I play for, consciousness. And I also think
there's also one thing that I do, like, sometimes I have some friends, obviously, that I'm not as close to as I was. But if during the day, if I think about you, I will send you a text message. Oh, I'm thinking about you today. I hope all is well. Like,
wow.
Because it's good to send. Or it's what I normally
do. That's very
rare. I remember one time I was, about 2 years, I was in a chocho, and I just took a picture. Oh, I'm at a pebia. And you just came to mind. This is my friend who, like, doesn't live here anymore. And I just sent a text message. Oh, I'm sending you flowers while you're still alive, because, like, you know, you have to do these kind of things. Like, you just came to mind. I'm thinking about you.
Sure.
They just let people know that you're thinking about them. Like, you don't have to text them every day.
Yeah.
And when you text them like that, me, I don't like long conversations. If I have texted you, I want to have a conversation with you, you know. So I just say that, I hope you're fine. Like, good. And then if they try to say, I'm like, Charlie, this is long. I'll be candid. I'm like, this is long. I was just checking up on you. I hope you are fine. That's all.
And there's this saying that out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. So that's the part that we most of us working. Like, okay. Once you don't see someone on a regular, the relationship is just some way. Yeah.
True. I would like to give some special shout to some people. All right. So, shout out to Ruth and Poma. She used to be Ruth and Poma. She's married now. But unfortunately, I don't know the name of her husband. So
her maiden name passes.
Okay. So, Miss Ruth and Poma, big shout out to you. She always listens to us. Yeah. Wow. And then also to Stephanie. And then a big special one to Ohinewa, also known as
Bambi. Charlie.
Yeah, today's her
birthday. Today's her birthday.
Yeah. So, big up. Bambi.
Hey. Happy birthday, Ohinewa.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, Ohinewa.
Happy birthday, Ohinewa.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Ohinewa. I think I've watched already. You should go and watch my status.
Exactly. So so we are wrapping up. Guys. So if you had the opportunity to advise your 16-year-old self, what would it be?
You know, when I saw this question, since I've been thinking about it since you sent me the question, because I don't know what I'll tell my 16-year-old self.
Okay.
Read more books.
Interesting. Louisa.
But yeah, I'll just say relax, 16-year-old self, because there's nothing... There's nothing to run to. Just keep calm. Okay. And then one step at a time. And then, like, read more, like you were saying. Because as a noun, right now, we don't know what will happen. I don't know if I'll go to school. But sometimes at the office and then I have spare time, I go back to, you know, how do you reference, how do you do in-text citation and all that.
Okay.
So I go back, exactly. But go back and see if you can do it by yourself.
Okay.
How did I even do my project? Sometimes I go through it, like, I could have done this here, I realize that my mind is growing.
Wow.
You should try and do things. You should try and find information. You know, be very knowledgeable, because you don't know what will happen.
Yeah.
You don't know what will happen. I didn't have to write some essay down and read it before I came here.
Okay.
But there are some people that would have to. Why? Because maybe they lack information.
Information, okay.
So don't give yourself the chance to not be chosen when the time comes. You always have to prepare.
Okay.
For the unknown. You don't know where your life is going to take you.
Yeah, sure.
So just prepare.
Prepare. Okay. I like studying.
I'll advise him to be more curious. In a good way. Okay. Then, yeah, like,
what's the good way? What's the bad
there's,
way?
There's always to be curious there, Charlie.
There's a lot of curiosity there's going a lot on.
Of kind of
yeah, there's a lot of, yeah.
But then you should be more curious in, as you're saying, building yourself so that when the opportunity comes, like, you can make the cut in any business.
Okay.
Yeah.
More curious.
Mm.
Okay.
I think I'll tell the 16-year-old me to take life by the horns. It's something that I learned later in life. I have to take life. Sometimes you'll be in situations where you can't... You see, in our part of our... where we're brought up to be calm and to, you know, be yes man. And sometimes somebody's stepping on your toes. You just have to politely But some people intentionally stepping on your toes. And you have to, you know, tell them... That hey, please move. Otherwise, you will be there. Because me growing up, I'm a very effeminate man, and I was a very small man. So people would always take me for granted. And when I enter a room, I have to speak 3 times as loudly to get noticed. To get people's attention. I remember when I was in secondary school, I said I could run, right? And then they're like, oh, look at you, carry water.
Oh,
so I was holding the water. Yeah, this is a very serious. I was holding the water for the athletes, and then. On the final race, 400 meters, the guy who was supposed to do it got injured, and there was nobody to do it. And then my house business came. You say, Garan, go and do it. And that day, I broke the record in the school.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I became, like, the athlete for the school. So you have to take life by the horns. And as I've grown up and I've moved and I've experienced different cultures, I've realized that... you have to, as a black man, and also from Africa, the world is fashioned kind of like a gauge. Like, people do not see you as an intelligent individual. Like, it's surprising how sometimes you see yourself where you are, and you go somewhere and you realize that by just the mere sight of somebody seeing you and knowing where you are from, you're like nothing. You see, you're like nothing, and you have to speak up. Like, I've been in conferences or in rooms where, like, I'm the only black individual and I'm from Africa. And sometimes, one time I heard somebody saying that, somebody overheard somebody saying that, oh, he doesn't know anything, obviously, because he's from Ghana.
Wow.
Hey. Mm. And, you know, in such a situation, you can't just say that, oh, mede, oh, and you have to show, you're rapping the whole
Africa,
continent. So you have to, like, say, oh, and that day, you see, you can't let that pass.
Yes.
You can't let that pass, and you have to prove yourself such that when after everything, when they're awarding, because in such to like most conferences and everything, they give awards.
Okay.
And when they're awarding you, it's very difficult for them to pick you as a black individual. But you have to make sure that you prove such that there's nobody else that they will put there that will make sense than you. So it's something that I would tell my 16-year-old that. Wow. You have to work 10 times as hard to be able to get the recognition that a small white boy will get.
Wow.
Because you're like, I'm not competing with people around me. It's an international thing. Charlie. It's global. So you have to always like make sure that you are up your game. You are abreast with information. That's why reading is my life. Because you have to always be at first. When people sit down and they're having an intellectual conversation, you'll be able to say something.
Yeah.
When they are talking about Ethiopia splitting numbers, you have to be able to say, and they say, oh, they're in Kraana. It's like, you know.
Ethiopia, no.
Ethiopia, no. Ethiopia, no. You know, you have to know these kind of things. Otherwise, Kofobia Faos, should they be
all the time.
And it's not something that I want for my 16-year-old self to experience ever.
Wow. Interesting. All right, guys. We've come to the conclusion of another episode of the Crossroads Show.